This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
If any of the following conversation raises any issues for you, you can get a list of support services. Just head to joy.org.au/support. For the first time, we have a set of national data that compares the well-being of LGBTIQA+ people to that of heterosexual and cisgender people. And the data was from the National Study of Mental Health and Wellbeing 2020 to 2022, and the findings were published by the ABS. So what does the data say about the health of the rainbow community? James Zanotto is Policy Research and Communications Director at LGBTIQ+ Health Australia. James, good to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Warren. Good to be here again.
What does the data tell us about the mental health of LGBTQIA+ Australians?
Warren, it's welcome data because it's incredibly important to do service planning, knowing what's really going on. But it's extremely concerning information. What it tells us is that the rates of mental ill health are 2 to 4 times higher for our LGBTQ communities than it is for the broader population. So let me spell that out, perhaps. It's different depending on lesbian, gay, bi or non-binary and trans and gender diverse. But overall, we're talking 7 or 8 out of 10 LGBTQ people have experienced a mental disorder at some time in their life, compared with about 4 in 10 for the general population, higher for some groups. Incredibly high.
What are we like at seeking professional help? Was there any comparison there compared to the rest of the community?
There was some comparison there. I was actually surprised to see in the data that people are actually seeking and accessing help at quite high rates. Surprised because we know across the board with health disparities for our communities that people often don't get the help they need or they're frightened to seek that help because they've experienced discrimination in the past and they're anticipating discrimination. We talked with the ABS about that and delved down. We don't really know what it means, but I think it means that we know we have a problem. Many people know that there are challenges facing our communities, and so they're a little bit more willing to try and seek out the help. But on the whole, a lot of challenges getting the help people need. You probably know across the board, particularly since COVID, everyone's been talking about a mental health crisis, and it's bigger for us.
Do we know which demographics are experiencing poorer mental health? Did it go down to that level?
It goes down a little bit to that level, but across the board, we know for our communities it's much higher. So it's just to give you a couple of comparisons in the LGB+, lesbian, gay, bi plus, that's 74% compared to 41 in the general population. For non-binary people, higher at 85% compared to 43%. So we know there are some areas that are doing worse. For young trans and gender diverse people, 70%. Compared to 48 for other young people. So better and worse across the board.
There was one bit of data in it that really, really concerned me, and that was almost half of all LGBTQIA+ people had seriously thought about taking their own life at some point in their lifetime, compared with just over 1 in 7 heterosexual people. So we're talking 47.8% compared to 15.3%. I mean, that's a shocking difference. Is anyone taking notice of that?
Shocking. Yes, I hope people are taking notice. One of the really important pieces of work that our organisation, LGBTIQ Plus Health Australia, has been advocating for in a number of years is a 10-year action plan for the health and well-being of LGBTIQ Plus people. That's now underway. So we've been saying for many years, our communities are mentioned in the policies and in the programs. We're a priority in the policies and programs, but the action has not been reflected on that. So we're hopeful at the moment that that work and the plan should be completed this year will lead to help. I'd certainly also be encouraging anyone who's having mental health problems and challenges to talk with people. Mm. And in that regard, we have our QLife service, and you pointed people at the start of the program to where they can find that help.
And but again, that's
importantly, what we need to do is foster the protective factors that help mental health and well-being, creating sense of belonging, creating communities, establishing networks and relationships so that people are supported and feel that they're welcomed and have opportunities.
Do you feel that? I know we've always known that we do have this mental health crisis happening within the community. But do you think that, I suppose, one silver lining of having this information available to us now is that the governments will listen and will take action? And really, if they don't, we've got this data to beat them over the head with and say, do it.
It's much harder to dismiss now. We've had some important research and projects like Private Lives and Writing Themselves In, which have been surveying LGBTIQ plus people and telling us this. It's not a surprise because of that. But this is the first time that the official government agency for tracking data, the Australian Bureau of Statistics, has specifically asked about gender and sexuality and now has the data from its own agency that the government must look at and take some action on. So yes, we'll certainly be using it as the big stick and every opportunity we get reminding government that it's there and it's time for action. Warren, can I just make one side note, though, that while the ABS standard for asking questions on our communities has been used for the first time in this study, the numbers of people with innate variations of sex characteristics, intersex people, were so low that they're not able to be reported on in this data. Oh. And it's still the standout area where we need more work to be done so we know exactly what's going on and what kind of action is needed.
So now that we've got this data being recorded, and obviously we need that group of people to be recorded properly next time, I mean, is this going to happen ongoing? Or could a Conservative government come in and say, ABS, don't record that stuff, we don't want that information anymore? Or is this rock solid, it's going to happen repeatedly over the next few years?
I guess none of us will ever know for sure, and governments can do that. But this is a trend that's been happening for a number of years. The standard was adopted in 2020. The ABS and other key organisations like the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare are progressively adopting the standard. I hope that by the time we get to the next census, it will be used in the census and our communities will be counted there, and we'll have that really solid national data that can only come from the census. I think the trend is there, and I think the ABS has sufficient independence in terms of its rigorous collection of data. And certainly the people I talk to in the ABS know that this is important. They know that you can't say the health and well-being of LGBTIQ plus people is a priority, but we don't actually know what's going on. We don't have any measures. We can't track it. We couldn't tell you if it was improving or not. So I think the ABS knows that we have to say, yes, it's important. We will count it. We'll track it. We'll know what's going. We'll be able to see.
Well, I find it really upsetting to read, but I'm glad we've got it. I really am, James. So
yes.
And good to chat with you about it. And let's hope that we can keep it coming and we can get all sections of the community covered as well properly so it can be reported on.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you so much.
Nice to talk with you.
Thanks for joining us on Drive. That's James Zanotto, Policy Research and Communications Director at LGBTIQ Plus Health Australia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.